Broadcasting live from the KTKK studios in Salt Lake City, Utah, this is the Jack Stockwell radio program. To contact Jack from Salt Lake City, dial 254-5855. And now the consummate voice of sense and sensibility himself, Jack Stockwell.
And that's us. Good morning, good morning, good morning. 7:06 and just a few seconds. I'm glad to be with you today. It's Dale Williams sitting in for, standing in, whatever you want to call it, for Jack Stockwell. Dr. Stockwell will be back on Monday. And we have an interesting plan for Monday. I'll be down here operating the board. Jack will be with us. And a special guest will be in studio. I don't think I'm going to blab who that is. I know Jack may want to keep that under his hat, and if he's listening right now and wants to tune us up a little bit and correct me and let me announce who that will be, then that would be okay too. I might even give him the phone number to the studio in case he's forgotten after 16 or 17 years. My in-studio guest is the chairman of Utah We Are Change, and also the producer of a lot of other good media, a lot of good media on the internet. It's Clint Richardson. Good morning, Clint. Glad you're here.
Good morning. Thanks again.
And we'll have the mayor of Salt Lake County, Peter Caroon, here in about 23 minutes. And he'll visit with us for roughly 30 minutes, call it 27 minutes. And we'll talk about a couple of different things. You know, one of the reasons that we asked the mayor's office to participate today, and I thought maybe we'd get a spokesman, Clint, for the mayor. But sure enough, the mayor is a pretty game guy, pretty game. You know, he's going to come down, as I like to say, into the lion's den of K-Talk. We'll, of course, be respectful and comport ourselves as gentlemen, but there'll be challenging questions. I was surprised right away his press officer or his press, I'm not sure exactly, you know, what the gentleman's title was. I was speaking to it, but the guy who handles press relations said, the mayor will be happy to talk to you for a half hour. He'll call at such and such a time. So he's even going to call us. And it's a little bit like when Mark Shurtleff came down and talked to Kyle for, that's our afternoon. Actually, now he's the almost evening host from 6 to 8 p.m., Kyle 2K. The mayor, attorney general came right down. And I guess part of being in public life is you have an unafraid personality. You would run into a personality like that in your walk of life from time to time, right, Clint?
I do. I usually have a camera in their face, and I'm asking them all kinds of tough questions. But, yeah, I meet them every once in a while.
Well, we wanted to explore this whole business of the police service fee, whatever the heck the thing is called. I was very interested to find out because I haven't tested the water on what's happening with it in several months, and I knew there had been a political backlash and an attempt to recover from this. That is the police fee that people get in certain parts of the valley. Usually, I think a homeowner, it's about $147 or something like that it was. And, yeah, I found out. I mean, I didn't call the legislature, but I verified from a number of sources that the state legislature has issued a mandate that that whole business has got to end. And I guess there's a date certain involved, but they gave a grace period to the county to end that. We'll have the mayor tune us up on this if I get any of the details wrong. But it's done with. The press person for the mayor's office told me that that whole program is finito. But I wonder what is happening with the folks who, with the obligation attendant to that sort of tax put on us by the county for police coverage. I wonder, you know, then there were instances where it's apparently tied to the property tax and all that are prospectively tied to that. So, you know, there's the coercive mechanism that is in place to make you pay your property tax would be applied in some fashion to this police fee. I wonder if that obligation is going to go away, and I wonder if it's retroactively going to be disarmed or whatever. I guess we'll find out a little bit more about that in about 20 minutes, Clint.
Well, yeah, I think we know the answers, but let's give the guy a chance to tell us the truth, I guess.
But the thing that your research has surfaced, and I'll steal your thunder, and plagiarize you, but I'll let you dress up the issue a little bit here. I am, after all, at the controls. You know, I do have that all powerful kind of feeling this morning. No. But what your research has indicated, as you told me just a few minutes ago, to remind me, is that the UPD, the Unified Police Department, is not something that just cropped up. Now, the UPD people that I spoke to yesterday, by the way, have said that the installation of the unification, the consolidation that UPD has enacted, and in effect bringing down the borders, the jurisdictional borders that used to supposedly inhibit police investigations and things like that, that has not increased. At least the sheriff's department has indicated through the undersheriff that hasn't increased their costs, their participation in the UPD. They're being subsumed by the UPD, so the costs didn't really change, and so I guess we would be probably barking at the moon to say that the UPD wanted more, or that it was the UPD that made this $150 fee necessary. I think the politicians are basic, and the high law enforcement are basically saying, hey, everything's going up, costs are going up. You know, there's a lot more people here to police.
Yes, well, you know, we have to understand, first of all, and this is from the mayor's report, actually, where it states in 2009 that, quote, this transformation has been a long time coming. Former Sheriff Aaron Kennard joined Sheriff Jim Winder last month before the Salt Lake County Council to report that groundwork for the UPD, the Unified Police Department, started more than a decade and a half ago. So this federalization of the police into one unified body has been going on around the country for 15 years.
Oh,
is
now,
what
wait
we're
a minute.
Talking about.
Well, let me ask you then. Does your pattern recognition software suggest, I'm a little dense this morning, I'd actually never thought of that if you're going to federalize the police, and we know that that's going on, we could do a week of shows from the data that we have related to that, the federalization of American police. In fact, a de facto federalization. They may not make these people federal officers, but their training doctrine and the oversight and their instantaneous readiness now to be brought into a central command structure, command apparatus in during a state of emergency. Those are all acts of federalization. But I had never thought of the idea that in order to streamline and make that process more efficient when it finally the other shoe drops and they nationalize the police formally, it would be much easier to do if the police in a given region are already consolidated.
Well, that's yeah. Hello. That's exactly what we're talking about. But we're not only talking about police here. We already have a unified fire department.
Oh, yes.
Where it says in the years since the Salt Lake County Fire Department became the Unified Fire Authority, Unified Fire District,
right,
we learned that the consolidation of services and providing ownership and policy responsibility to member cities creates a positive environment built on trust and common needs. Now, that's not common needs for the people. That's common needs for the bureaucracy that is the police and the fire. Really, what we're talking about here is not just... We're talking about complete police unification. And I'd like to read something else. This is from the Federal National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. Keyword being federal. Federal National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. It says in 1996, it goes along with the 15-year plan, huh? In 1996, the Utah Highway Safety Office and Salt Lake Sheriff's Office met to analyze territorial and coordination problems encountered by metropolitan area law enforcement agencies. As a result, the two agencies developed the Salt Lake County Multi-Agency Task Force, comprised of all local, county, and state law enforcement agencies, law enforcement agencies from schools and universities, and representatives from four other government agencies. So we don't only have a county federalization, we have a state federalization in Utah. We have what you might call a police state.
And you know, there are bureaucratic nuances here, most of which escape me at 7:16 and change this morning. But the fire department is a district in the sense, I was told yesterday by government officials that who shall remain nameless for the time being, that they have a district which guarantees the tax or monies from the property tax in Utah will be apportioned. I'm not sure that's the right word, but they will be designated, and they won't be scapped off. They won't be skimmed by other departments. There's a definite money component of the tax base that is dedicated to the fire department, to the unified fire department, and that relationship with the tax base is something that the police, the UPD, the Unified Police Department, is now undertaking. It is going to have its own, well, you know, fiefdom within the account, within the gathered taxes related to the property tax.
The problem is, you know, I think a lot of people don't really mind paying that tax. I don't think most people want it on their property tax, because that, you know, property tax is essentially extortion. If you don't pay your tax, the government takes your home. So what better place to put these fees and attach them to than something that you absolutely must pay or lose your shelter? So I don't think most people mind or would mind paying for schools and anything else that fee covers. And that includes, you know, lawful police and the sheriff. I don't think people would mind that. I think people have been okay with that for a long time. But what we're talking about here is not that. We're not talking about apportioned tax. We're talking about a direct tax, which, if you look at the Constitution, is highly, highly unconstitutional, unlawful. I believe it's even in code.
It's unlawful for the federal government to undertake a tax that is not apportioned, a direct tax. Although they reversed that with the amendment that brought in the income tax, so it's all kind of a moot point at this point.
Well, right? You know, if you really look at what local government is, what state government, states are districts of the federal government. The states no longer really exist. I know we like to pretend that they do.
Right.
But technically, because they are private corporations under the federal government, we are all living in federal land.
We are. We are. And so, I'll tell you what's really a lot more real than the states. That is those 10 administrative areas, sometimes referred to as districts. And people don't want to believe these exist, but that's really the organizational template that is over the United States.
You're speaking to FEMA districts, right? And FEMA now is under Homeland Security, which is like we pretty much have this, I dare say, Nazi-esque SS party called the Homeland Security all of these, you know, all of these functions are going under, and that includes INS. So anything that's happening with INS is now Homeland Security. Homeland Security supposedly is in charge of not allowing what we call illegal immigrants into the country. So there's some, we've got some problems here.
They actually guarantee, they are the guarantors of the open border, and I know that sounds way too crazy to assimilate this morning. But I want to know, when we come back, who should I call? Anybody got an idea? Who should I call when I have a problem with the local police? You used to be able to call the sheriff. I don't think there is a sheriff anymore. We'll come back and talk about it.
AM 630, K-Talk. Preserving the American way for a new American tomorrow.
Operator, could you help me place this call?
See the number on the matchbook. Oh yeah, that's us back, still here in studio. Jack will be back with us in the audio sense on Monday. In the meantime, it's myself, Dale, Clint's in studio here. People you're probably getting a little bit used to as sitting in for Jack as he stabilizes his business plan a little bit and needs a little time off from time to time. We're glad to be down here with you. Let me check the date just to make sure everything is actually real here. It is a Friday, May 27th, 2011, 7:24, almost 7:25 a.m. I think I said p.m. before. That would not be unusual for me to do that. And it's shaping up to be, well, it looked like a pretty nice day, except a little chilly for this time of year. Strange weather things going on. So anyway, I get in a row. You know, I remember back east, that was one thing that, you know, it was at least an option when I was growing up, Clint, that if, because local police can get in such a war-fighting modality back where I grew up, dealing with people. I mean, it's a different world, as rough as parts of this valley are.
You know,
I don't think they've ever quite matched some of the places I knew about, at least back east. And the local police were at war. Sometimes they'd abuse you a little bit. At least you had the county sheriff to call, and if push come to shove, you could call the state police. But it seems to me that the sheriff's deputies now are in fact police officers. That under this system, if I read this correctly, they are not sheriff's deputies. I do make errors in these data points sometimes. Go ahead.
Let's just compare this to something else that's really screwed up our country. Okay, when the country was founded, we were in a what you would call a republic, which supposedly meant that all minorities got representation. In other words, it was a separate thing. Everybody had their way of doing things in their place, and that was a good thing because bills and laws and amendments to the Constitution could not get passed without major, major debate and fine mm-hmm. print. You know, right. They had to be perfect because everybody had to be represented. Now, transfer that to this, okay? What's wrong with jurisdiction, really? Because that means that there's no uniform way for police to act. So, in other words, if one police department starts acting unlawfully, at least the other police department might still be acting lawfully. And then you had the sheriff as sort of the head of the council there saying, okay, well, no, you're passing the state laws and the federal laws to the point where you're not police anymore. A good example is one of the police departments, I believe it might have been Draper, but I might be mistaken, and I apologize if I am, you know, 5-6 years ago, turned out they were dealing drugs out of their police department. But it was only that police department, as far as we know. In this case, though, if they decide that they're going to start dealing drugs or doing something illicit within the police department, it's going to be a multi-jurisdictional task force that are doing something illegal, as opposed to just one police force. So the point is, jurisdiction is such a good thing. It protects you, the person. It has nothing to do with police. Jurisdiction is specifically a right, a privilege that you have as a citizen. It protects you.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a miniature version of federalism, I think, is what you're saying. I mean, all the problems we're having in this country, in my opinion, are related to the fact that we have a federal government that is operating within a system outside of the Constitution, doing all kinds of extra constitutional things that in their totality amount to the government being able to define the scope of its own power. Now, which direction is that going to go? You know what I'm saying? We have a call coming in. Maybe we'll take a call and see who this is. Because we have the mayor that will be on, the mayor of Salt Lake City, I should say Salt Lake County, coming in about a minute and a half, we hope, if all goes well. Let's see who this is. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Dale. This is Bob.
Bob.
A quick comment. You know, under Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution, the idea that federal is getting involved in domestic matters, that means any domestic matters within states, is totally unconstitutional. I'll just read the sentence here, okay? On the application of the legislature, now this is the use of federal force in a state, all right? application of the legislature or of the executive when the legislature cannot be convened. And this isn't a time of horse and buggy communications, all right, against domestic violence. And essentially, our founding fathers, I mean, they had a whole different precept of the idea of federalism versus, I mean, it was the states that created the federal government, not the other way around. And traditionally, we have the community police answering to the city council. You have the county sheriff answering the county commissioners. You have the state police, and technically the National Guard within the state, answering to the governor. And this division of powers is essentially what existed at the time the Constitution was adopted, and it was just accepted. And I would say that there's a really interesting clause when Patrick Henry was given our U.S. Constitution to go over by Washington.
Well, Bob, I want to say thanks for your input, and you know, it speaks very much to what we were talking about. It's this idea of competing powers, Clint, but presently we have Mayor Caroon, who's been good enough to join us. Let's light his line up. Good morning, Mayor. How are you this morning? I'm sorry, Mayor. Let's try that one more time. How's our connection this morning?
I can hear you fine. Things are doing well.
Well, wonderful. I'm so glad you're up and at 'em and willing to call in. And as I told your people, there'll be some challenging questions. And I give you credit for cowboying up and getting on K-Talk this morning.
Happy to do so.
And Mayor, we've been talking about the Unified Police Department and this police service fee, which is probably a little bit old news for your department. My understanding is that the state legislature got involved and said that whole thing has got to come to an end, and that your people and yourself, you're ahead of that process and kind of setting that aside. Do I have that right?
That's correct. We've made the decision that by the end of this year we will eliminate the police fee. The question is then, how do we pay for police service? And do the citizens want us to cut back on service, or would they be willing to look at it as a part of a property tax?
My in-studio guest is Clint Richardson with Utah We Are Change, and Clint is a person who has studied the finances of the county as best a lay person can, and we have questions about, well, I guess the solvency and the wealth available, the finances available to the county, and I'm sure Clint has a question about or has a question for you regarding the question or the whole issue.
Sure.
of whether or not additional fees or additional taxes are really necessary.
Sure, and I can give you a little bit of background on that if you like.
Sure.
Salt Lake County is really two governments. We're a city government over the unincorporated areas, and so we plow the snow and pick up the trash and fix the street lights and do animal services as well. That's a sort of a municipal city service. And then we're also a countywide government, and so we have two budgets. We have a city budget and a countywide budget, and so we're really talking about the city budget, not the countywide budget. So when we're talking about the city budget, we're talking about primarily public works, what I mentioned about the picking up the trash and plowing the snow and things like that. So that's the budget where we had the issue. And so the people in the unincorporated county, which is Magna, Mill Creek, Copperton, Kearns, the White City, and Emigration Canyon, and some of the other parts of that are in the unincorporated county, they pay separately for their municipal services, like people in a city pay for their pay to their city government for city services. And so back in 2007, we were doing pretty well, but from 2007 through 2010, our property taxes, or sales tax receipts, rather, dropped about 30% in the unincorporated county. And so we were in a situation where we had to pay for these services with 30% drop in sales tax, and that was millions and millions of dollars. So otherwise we hadn't raised overall property taxes in the unincorporated area for 10 years, and we still haven't. but we needed to figure out a way to pay for these police services. And we did create the Unified Police Department. You know, it was unfortunate that the Unified Police Department was created at the same time we had the Great Recession, because the creation of the police department really had nothing to do with our financial issues. But we still had to pay for police services, and we were in a hole about $13 million. And when we created this police department, we couldn't increase property taxes there to the extent that we needed to pay for police services, because there was a state law saying that you can only raise a certain amount for police services, and it was less than what our budget was. So that's just a little bit of background, but I'm happy to answer any questions on.
Yeah, I actually, you know, when you say you created the police department, you actually dissolved the sheriff's department and just made that into the police department. Do I have that correct?
Well, again, there's the sheriff's office still exists, and the sheriff still exists, but
the elected sheriff still exists, but he became CEO of the private corporation named UPD.
Correct, and just like I'm the mayor over the Salt Lake County, with the council as my board. The sheriff became the CEO of the Unified Police Department, with board members overseeing his actions.
I see. I just wanted to ask you now, since the main reason, by the way, my name's Clint Richardson, and I thank you very much for coming on. The main reason, it sounds like, that this all happened was budgetary. In other words, you are claiming that you did not have the money to pay your police officers, and that you would have to cut some of the staffing off of your force if you did not charge this fee. Is that correct?
That's correct. I mean, we'd cut our public works on an average 25% when the recession hit. The sheriff's or the Unified Police Department budget went down about 7%. We didn't want to make more significant cuts.
In those
areas, and so we had a gap there of about $12-13 million.
It's interesting, because when I actually pull up the actual real budget of the city, which is the comprehensive annual financial report. Are you familiar with that report?
Yes.
All right, this is the basic accounting structure of government, where it shows all investments and everything else, all the funds. And I show that it states that property taxes increased 5.8 million or 3.1% compared to 2008, and this was as of December 31st, 2009.
Just for the unincorporated area, or you're talking about county?
Well, that was everything.
So we have a county wide budget as well. So you may be looking at the entire budget.
No, this is actually the county, the full county report. Doesn't matter if it's incorporated or unincorporated. It is the county.
Sure. And again, I'll say that Salt Lake County hasn't raised property taxes for 10 years, except for judgment levies. So when the county gets sued, we get judgments against us, and so. There's a
risk management fund for that too, where you take all kinds of taxpayer money and put it into that fund, invest it, and that's where those risks come from. Correct?
And that's correct. And that's where that's where we put that money.
And there's quite a bit of money in that fund as well. But let's talk about another fund
Let me finish. And then there's voter approved initiatives. So if there's a voter initiative on the ballot that they vote for, then you know, that's a property tax increase. So those are the two areas.
Right. So let's talk about some other funds. It says on the report, it actually says, and remember, this is December 31st, 2009. It says, as of December 31st, 2009, aggregated fund balances of all governmental funds were $270.5 million. Which is a $27.8 million increase over the prior year. And it says approximately 57.3% or $154.9 million of those aggregated fund balances are unrestricted and undesignated. And it also says, which comes to you and the council, it says this balance which is available for appropriation by the county council at its discretion. So $154.9 million could have been used at the county's discretion. Can you comment on that?
Sure. Salt Lake County is required to have a certain fund balance, you know, anywhere between roughly 10 to 20% of our budget is required to be held in reserve in case of disasters or whatever else might happen, just to make sure that we're in fiscally good shape. And Salt Lake County is one of only roughly 30 counties nationwide out of the 3,000 nationwide that has a AAA bond rating. And one of the reasons is because we are in good financial condition and we have fund balances.
Mayor, I'll ask you to carry on. Just take a pause, if you would, for a moment. We have hard breaks we have to deal with. A little advertising keeps us here. Mayor Peter Caroon, Salt Lake County Mayor, with us this morning for another 15 or 20 minutes.
AM 630, K-Talk. Spreading the truth from Salt Lake City to all of America on k-talk.com.
Hello, it's me.
All right, we're back on K-Talk with our county mayor, Mr. Caroon, and we're very pleased to have our good mayor. It's very brave thing for him to come on and talk about these things. I just wanted to add to what you were saying, and then we'll give you the floor. Now, I understand that there is a minimum reserve balance that are supposed to be in these funds. And again, these are not funds that are reported on the budget report that go to the people of the county. This is just something that you guys have extra. And it's, you know, it's designated for such things as golf course care and water services and stuff like that. But the problem you see is, and why I'm asking you that, what I'm asking you is that you gave only two choices. You could either lay off some police officers or charge a fee. Mm-hmm. But my question is, in the end of 2000, these fund balances totaled over $20 million for the general fund and almost $80 million. For all other governmental funds. Then in 2005, the fund balances totaled $47.5 million for the general fund and almost $179 million for all other funds. Now, at the end of fiscal 2009, a day before you announced the unification of the police, totaled over, let's see, it looks like almost $300 million in these funds. And it states that unreserved, meaning it's not appropriated or apportioned for anything, could have been used at the county's discretion, was $190 million. Why was this not used instead of charging a direct tax and leaning that tax on the property tax, where you could actually take people's homes if they don't pay it?
The reason, again, is that we have to have a certain amount of reserves in account. And the monies you're talking about are all the funds in Salt Lake County. So I talked earlier about how we're a city government and a countywide government as well. So the fund reserves you're talking about is all the countywide and city services. That includes, you know, parks and recreation centers, Bravenal Hall, the Salt Palace, Clark Planetarium, you know, 100 different parks, as I mentioned. We have mental health and substance abuse. We run the health department. So these fund balances cover all these different funds. And Salt Lake County as a whole, our overall budget is about $640 million, $650 million. So that's the entire countywide fund. So, and then when we budget, we actually budget, you know, we don't budget for 1 year. We look two, three years out. So when we're looking at those fund balances, actually, you know, they end up getting depleted over a certain amount of time. And
well, I think we just saw that those funds are not getting depleted. They're, in fact, growing quite significantly over the years. In fact, they've more than tripled, it looks like, over just 10 years. So how is it – what are the minimums of these accounts? Because apparently – if you had $20 million in the fund and $80 million in the other funds in 2000, and now it's up to $235 million in the funds and $36 million in the funds, what is the minimum balance? I'm confused.
Well, the minimum balance, again, should be anywhere between 10 and 20% of your budget. And, again, the funds you were talking about were countywide funds. Actually, in our unified police department for the unincorporated area, our fund balance now, I think, is $4,000. So there isn't one. So that's another issue that we'll have to deal with over time, is trying to build up that fund balance.
Well, what happened to the taxes that were being paid for the sheriff's department? Where did those go?
There's two sources of fund. One is property tax, and one is sales tax, and so those are going to pay for the unincorporated area to the Unified Police Department.
So really, nothing's changed. Is that true? Nothing's changed as far as taxes. You're getting the same amount of taxes as before.
We're getting the same amount of property tax because that's fairly stable. Sales tax dropped 30%, so we replaced the lost sales tax with this police fee to help pay for police services. Although again, our police budget went down 7%, so there was some cuts there. So people, instead of paying with sales tax, are paying with the police fee, and now the police fee is going to go away. So we don't control sales tax, so we either have to cut services or pay with property tax. It's a little bit confusing, but you know, the budgets are down overall. We're not spending more money on these services. We've tried to be more efficient. Can we be more efficient? Yes, of course. And we're gonna have public meetings. We have open houses scheduled in June. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 open houses. I'm looking at a sheet here throughout the unincorporated county. So we're gonna come to the residents and try to explain a little bit about how police services are paid for, and ask them, what do you want to do? Do you want to cut services? Or do you want to pay for it through property taxes, or a different way?
Well, again, I'm not sure why we're not shifting the funds that are just sitting there, not being used. They're unapportioned. They're up to the county's discretion. And also, again, property taxes increased $5.8 million. Where do you get the figure that they decreased? Also, government-wide expenses overall were $31.6 million less than the prior year, a 5.5 decrease. And this is right out of your own budget report. Public works expenses decreased approximately $5.0 million. And interest on long-term debt decreased $2.3 million. Also, we have $150 million of defeased bonds. I mean, I can go through this report and find probably billions of dollars. Perhaps the most important one that I found, though, which really speaks to what's going on here, on page 52 of the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, we see the Salt Lake County has some money socked away in what's called the Utah Public Treasures Investment Fund, which is a sort of a fund that every single city and county invests in, and the state treasurer holds that fund. And it says right here that the county, as of December 31st, 2009, held $303 million. $303,803,000 in that fund. And what that fund says, as described in the CAFR, is that it is a voluntary external local government investment pool managed by the Utah State Treasurer to improve investment efficiency and yield. These monies are invested in securities permitted by the Utah Money Management Act, so it's lawful, and contain, very important, they contain no withdrawal restrictions other than timely notice of intent to withdraw an amount greater than $2 million. Why does Salt Lake County have $303 million in a state treasurer's investment fund while people are not getting their potholes filled, while people are not getting, my street looks like a weed garden right now, our police fee? Why is this money not being withdrawn with no withdrawal restrictions and used for such things as what we're talking about today?
Well, that is the money that is coming in and out of our government. So when people pay tax, property taxes, we collect it, we put it in these funds and earn money on it. So it's not just sitting there not making any money while we're bringing it in and paying it out. So, you know, we have a lot of money that comes in and out of the county government. So this is essentially our bank account.
Well, this is actually not your bank account. This is a fund that has been growing ever larger over the years. And I really doubt that the taxpayers would appreciate the fact that their taxes are being raised while the government is actually hoarding this money and making essentially a profit off of this money, a gain on investments. By the way, this money is not insured. It is completely at risk. So I are you sure that the taxpayers are really supportive of this act?
Oh, they're very safe securities, and you know, the state is. If you believe in our state government, which hopefully people do, that they invest money in responsible securities, then you know.
Well, wait a minute. You say it's safe, but the investment report here, the CAFR, states that investment activity of the state treasurer and the management of the PTIF is reviewed monthly by the council and is audited by the Utah State Treasurer.
Correct.
And then it says monies invested in the fund are not insured and are subject to the same market risks as any similar investment in money market funds. How is that safe?
Well, money market funds are traditionally considered fairly safe investments. They're not getting a whole lot of return these days, probably, you know, less than 1% or less. So, you know, they're invested in treasuries and other investments. And granted, you're absolutely correct. In these volatile days, the safe investment is a word that definitely, you know, we all wonder whether they really are safe.
Well, here's the real trick, because then it says in the same description for this state treasurer's investment fund, this is what really kind of peeves me, is that government and agency securities include in this fund include long-term loans issued by the agency for international development, not Utah development, but international development, which are registered and fully guaranteed by the federal government. How is it? Do you think the taxpayers are getting a return on their tax dollars? It's great that you are with your funds, but are taxpayers getting a return on their tax if all of their money is being put in their funds? We've covered almost, what, $600 million at this point that could have been used to pay this fee.
So are taxpayers getting money? Yes, absolutely. That's if we're making interest on the money that sits in the banks, and that helps reduce the taxes that we have to collect to pay for.
But you raised bills. You not only raised taxes, you created a completely unconstitutional direct tax against the unincorporated areas, forcing them to have police protection. It's kind of gangland style, if you ask me.
I'm a citizen too, so I pay taxes too, so I'm not going to be out there wanting to pay any more taxes than I have to, and if I'm raising them on somebody else, I'm raising them on myself. I want a good quality of life. I'm a person who's willing to pay taxes for parks and roads and police service, but as a taxpayer, I also don't want to pay more than I have to. And as mayor of the county, you know, if I'm doing it to other people, I'm doing it to myself. And so I also want to make sure that we're running a tight budget, but I look 3-4 years out to make sure that the funds we have available are going to be there for 5 years, so I'm not collecting money today only to have nothing for tomorrow.
Mayor, you're talking about this $13 million shortfall in the sales tax receipts, 30% or whatever. I mean, I'm just a lay person. I'm just an average guy down here listening to this conversation, but it seems to me you could have shifted money out of that $300 million fund, which is entirely at your discretion, at the county government's discretion, and what happens with that. You could have shifted and had $287 million in it and left the $150 fee, you know, which has created a lot of political baggage. I would have thought, you know, that you would have done that, if for no other reason, to keep the political drag down and limited.
Well, that's not exactly correct. While they're unrestricted funds, that doesn't mean we can use them for anything, and doesn't mean we can take money from our countywide expenditures and put them towards our city expenditures in the unincorporated area. So
who decides the disposition of that fund then?
There's laws based on state law on how we spend that money. And our treasurer, who's separately elected, he's the safeguarder of those funds, and you know he's the one who looks at the money that comes in and the money that goes out, and you know makes sure that we have enough money to pay our bills on a regular basis. So we're not sitting here hoarding money. We're not asking the taxpayers to pay for money that they don't need to pay, but we do look 5 years out and make sure that we're going to be in good condition for 5 years. And we're not going to say, okay, don't We're gonna give you a tax break today to give you a tax increase tomorrow. We try to do it over a long term period. But when that recession hit, we found ourselves in a hole in our municipal budget, or city budget.
You know, sir, I'm sorry, but this would be like me saying, man, my checking account balance is only $10, and I've got $10,000 of bills to pay, while having a savings account that has $2 million in it, and me telling my partners in my business that, oh, I'm sorry, I can't pay the bill because I don't have that money in my checking account, only in my savings. That doesn't make sense, and I don't think that makes sense to anybody that's listening right now.
Well, let's say you had $10,000 in bills. Under state law, if you have to have 10% of your bills in a reserve, that would be $1,000. So that $1,000 you can't touch to pay your bills, so you need really $11,000 in order to pay your $10,000.
Mayor, there's our break. I hope you'll come back and visit with us again.
Well, we appreciate you having me on, and it's a complicated issue, okay. But I can tell you we're scrubbing the numbers and scrubbing our budget.
All right, sir.
Trying to be as good as we can with our budget.
Thanks for visiting today.
Thanks for having me.
Jack Stockwell.
Broadcasting live from the KTKK studios in Salt Lake City, Utah, this is the Jack Stockwell radio program. To contact Jack from Salt Lake City, dial 254-5855. And now the consummate voice of sense and sensibility himself, Jack Stockwell.
Oh, I don't know about you folks, but I stood aside quite deliberately. For one thing, when it comes to finance and economics, it's better to let somebody talk, almost anybody, than me. I'd be Dale Williams sitting in for Jack Stockwell this morning. Glad to be with you. It's almost 8:07. But that was a remarkable interview, and we have caller input, caller reaction. There was quite a bit of caller reaction during the interview with Mayor Caroon. But I think what you saw, if nothing else, I don't need to gild the lily, but you saw incompatible representations. And I guess I would just leave it to you, the listener, to sort it out. The thing is that a lot of the things that Clint was talking about are available to the public on the Comprehensive Annual Financial Report of Salt Lake County, Utah's number one live local two-way talk station. That's what we said, AM 630 K-Talk Radio. Well, Clint, thanks for doing the prep on that, and I think that discussion could act as a primer. We'll just have to make that available on freewestradio.com, on k-talk.com, on Jack Stockwell's archive. That's k-talk.com. And we'll make that interplay between you and the Salt Lake County Mayor, Peter Caroon, available so people can sort the details out.
I hope that we made Jack Stockwell proud in our little hour that we just had. I feel very good about what we just accomplished there, and I hope that this might be the pinnacle for people to finally start getting this report that I've been talking about for so long now, this Comprehensive Annual Financial Report, and look at it, because you know what? The funds that we were just talking about, including that $300 million in the state treasurer's fund, that's not talked about on the budget report. The little budget report that you get, all it shows is your little taxes that you're paying in, right, and the monies that are paying out. Mm-hmm. I invite you to go and pull up the Salt Lake County, the Salt Lake City, Draper City, all of the cities and the county have individual reports with these individual funds. And
right,
I
but
want
that big,
people
that
to look.
That big collective fund that the you know that all these cities are putting into that Salt Lake County apparently has $300 million in, that's reported on in the Sunday paper sometime, the condition, how that's going, where that's at, right? It seems to me it was
I don't know if that's what that reflects, but yeah, on the front page of the money section, something that people don't realize is that it shows the Dow Jones Industrial, whether it's down or up. It shows the New York Stock Exchange, whether it's down or up. And then at the bottom, it shows the Utah stock investments, the Utah holdings, and whether it's down or up. It's as if people don't know that Utah states, counties, and cities have massive, massive stock investment. It's practically it's as big as some of these major funds.
All right. I can't think of an interview that is less fuzzy than the one we just conducted, and the questions that actually had numbers attached to it. Doesn't get much clearer than a number.
Straight out of the government's financial report.
If you look at what actually happened in the interview, we were getting to the reasons. We are frankly undermining completely the fiscal rationale for imposing this tax. And your point is very good, by the way, that the whole idea of just we decided we're going to lay a fee on you. By what authority? But we wanted to make sure that the pretext, which we believe to be completely flawed or faulty, was duly illuminated. Is that too much of a florid description of what we did? We wanted to make sure that you understood that the numbers do not reflect the kind of crisis that would underwrite a move like laying on a $150 additional fee. And yes, the point of it being illegal, very essentially extra legal, in my opinion, that's a very important issue, and we hope to have Sheriff help me out.
Sheriff Winder.
Sheriff Winder, yes. An adult moment, an age, a senior moment there. We hope to have Sheriff Winder on next week and talk about the illegality of that thing
and
the inappropriate
nature.
And
if he'll stay on for longer than, you know, a half an hour, then maybe we can actually take, you know, caller questions too, and that would be awesome. But don't forget, this is not just for homeowners, because some people aren't homeowners.
Mm-hmm.
The business people in the unincorporated area as well are charged an even greater fee, and if they don't pay, since they don't really have a property tax, they'll lose their business license and not be able to practice their business in Salt Lake County and perhaps the state. So we're talking about something much, much, much worse than just some small fee. When you lose your house, when your property tax is attached with a this type of tax that is specifically designed to threaten you to pay by a mafia-style council that's set up who voted this district in, you've got something way different than government going on.
Well, we had to have a protection racket because we had a $13 million shortfall in sales tax receipts. Let's talk to Mike. Mike, go ahead.
Yeah, I want to thank you for letting me talk to Peter Caroon, too.
Yeah, okay.
Because I had three really good questions I wanted to ask.
Well, why is the presumption on your part and Ali's part that you can just call in, you know, in a 20-minute interview that took days to prepare for, and you have a good civic sense about you, but you can't presume that you're going to be able to cut in on such a short interval that we have with a public official. We got to get our licks in, and we had just enough time to do it, in my view.
Well, maybe next time ask him to stay the whole hour or not even show up.
Well, I'm really going to dictate that to the county mayor. Dale down at K-Talk says you've got to stay an hour or we're going to beat you up, Mayor Caroon. Go ahead, Mike. What's on your mind?
Well, the three questions I wanted to ask him, and the first one is, as a property owner in Salt Lake County, a fellow who owns a house here in unincorporated Salt Lake County, I wanted to know how many cars can I own that aren't licensed at the moment?
Okay.
Classic cars that might be behind a fence and cannot be seen from the street.
Okay, question number two.
Do I have the right to stop anybody from Salt Lake County Planning and Zoning from trying to look around my fence?
Good
or
question.
Trying to go through the gate?
Good question.
I mean, do they need to have a search warrant? Can I demand to see a search warrant before I let them enter the gate to see what I have back here?
Darn good question. Number three.
I wanted to get his reaction when I tell him I'm going to sue him for $10 million for violating my Fourth Amendment and Fifth Amendment rights to the Constitution of the United States, plus all the mental anguish he's causing me.
Well, Mike, that's the spirit of 1776. I don't want to pass judgment on what it is your complaint may be, but all three of those questions would have been dandies if we had the latitude to to have engaged them or engaged the mayor in answering them.
Well, you know, you can also take a cue from my group. We are Change. Go in there with a buddy, make an appointment with the mayor, and ask these questions to the mayor. It's not really that difficult to get in and see these guys. The halls of the Capitol building are not closed off to the public. Go knock on the door or make an appointment and ask the mayor himself. It's
all
that
right.
Simple.
You've got the Jack Stockwell radio program. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us. AM 630, the one and only.
The voice of Utah. AM 630, K-Talk.
K-Talk.com.
Number one for the most live, local, two-way talk.
All right, here we go. It's a fun ride on K-Talk. I don't know why I like it. You know, I used to get a little agitated on the radio when people would get mad at me. Nothing will irk a caller and a listener more than having to hold for a long time. But I look back, too. I used to call Merrill Cook when I was a listener. And Merrill always had a good show. But Merrill would take long, you know, he'd take long intervals and really get in depth with a caller. And so the call stacked up a little bit. It's a slightly different style of radio program. It's one I liked. But I would get a 40, 50, 60-minute wait sometime, and I'd get agitated myself. So I know how they feel. But what can I say? It's tough luck, you know? We got a limited medium and a limited interval here.
It's also such a pleasure, too, to be talking on the radio. I value this more than I can possibly say. The limited time that I get to do this with Dale here, it's a beautiful thing, and I respect all of these callers, no matter what their opinions are.
You know, and again, not to fixate on the negative calls, it is just interesting. You know, when they calm down, they're still patriots, and they're still patriots in arms, patriots. Ooh, I can't believe I said that. They're shoulder to shoulder with us, so I don't take any of that personally. Let's talk to Josephine, then we'll get to Gary, and then Eagle. Good morning, Josephine.
Hi, you guys. I want to say that I really appreciate the effort, the time, the research. K-Talk gets me out of bed in the morning with Jack Stockwell and Barbara Jean, and you two guys, I'm telling you, I am sick and tired of the secretive things that are going on in our society, which are totally against our Constitution. And to say that your report today was fuzzy, was unimportant, I say BS to that. You guys give us just vital information. I just want to give you a quick quote. And by the way, anybody who wants to be entertained instead of informed, turn on the TV.
Okay.
I want to give you guys a quote from Abraham Lincoln.
Sure.
He said, "If the citizens are given the truth openly, this country is secure." That's what you guys are doing. The politicians are not. I thank you so much for the research and for the information about these two secret funds, and they're claiming to be poor and scrubbing numbers and this kind of thing. Hey, I just know that most people who are working people are the ones who are scrubbing the numbers and doing everything they can to stay afloat.
Oh, yeah. Now, this is the sad thing about this. This is a violence inflicted on the rank and file people. Another $150 hit on a household that is just barely getting by, and there are thousands and tens of thousands of them in this governmental unit we're talking about. It is a kind of in essence a violent act. Josephine, I am so glad you called me. I'm going to drop you real quick to get on to some other calls.
And I do want to thank you guys. You're terrific.
All right, thanks.
Thank
again.
Thank you.
Thanks again, Josephine. Really appreciate that. There goes Josephine. I appreciate the critical calls and the praising calls. They're all part of the K-Talk thing. All right, Gary, and then we'll get to Eagle. Oh, Gary, there it goes. I warned Gary, the caller, that might drop, and sure enough, it has. Let's see. I think we have Eagle on line four. Let's go there. Eagle, go ahead.
Yes, I would like to say this to Ollie. If you're looking for entertainment, tuned to some of the other people on K-Talk that do give entertainment and like to call it serious talk radio. You guys performed a yeoman service this morning, and all I can say is keep it up.
All right, man, that works for me, short and sweet and to the point. I feel that way, you know. I don't want to pat myself on Clint's back, but I think he did a great job. And the mayor, you know, if we had to be really truthful, the mayor maintained quite a degree of poise under a polite but very unremitting cross-examination of the statements he has made both previously and on the program. So
while they were conflicting to the actual budgetary and comprehensive annual financial report, yes, he did, in other words, untrue, yes, he did compose himself very nicely.
Yeah, he's an experienced pretty serene guy, you got to say, under fire. Okay, is this Gary? Good morning.
Yes, it is.
Fire away.
This is the first time I've called in, but I have an issue with this. Well, not really an issue that you guys addressed, but a personal issue with the mayor that called in. Next time he calls, or whenever you've got an official on the line, ask him what they do with all the extortion money they gather up, referring to all the traffic tickets. I just recently received a ticket for no seat belt, and I consider that my right to wear it or not to wear it.
Darn right.
And a $45 ticket.
Ooh.
And where does the money go? That's my question.
I mean, that's what amazes me about the politicians in the state, I suppose, all over the United States now. They talk first and foremost about, I mean, they give lip service to protecting the people at large, but boy, protecting the jobs of these public servants, you know, the culture in the United States has really changed. I mean, you go to the 4th of July parade now down in Provo, and the F-16s still fly over, but God bless them and keep them from harm, but they put firemen and other kinds of public employees in front of us as almost an object of worship. These politicians get on the line and get on the air and talk about how they're working hard not to cut jobs from the bureaucracy. And what about the $150 ticket for being 10 or 15 miles over in a 25 or, you know, in a 25 zone or something? And the individual then has to try to find some way, you know, abase himself, throw himself on the mercy of his relatives to pay his auto insurance or the last $150 of his rent. That is the kind of thing that's happening all over, all the time, and they are absolutely callous to it. I guess that's just restating what you were trying to drive at, caller.
Yeah, from what I understand, there is no accountability for all this money that the cities gather up for tickets. I just want to know where it's going.
Well, you know what, my friend? All you have to do to understand what's happening is just to simply realize that government is essentially an enterprise operation, okay? It is a for-profit corporation. It is not representing you because a corporation, you know, to be a soluble corporation, you must make a profit. To make a profit, you need to do things like what you're talking about right now. And there's reasons why all of a sudden the police came out and said, you off written a ticket all year who are actually just being good policemen. No, you need to put on that officer's uniform and write at least one ticket every week. Okay, that's the new rule for Salt Lake City Police. So they're required to do it. At this point, because it's profitable. And that's really all you need to understand. All these funds that we were talking about, those funds are profit. And they go to fund such things as golf courses, which are for-profit enterprise operations run by government. The water, your sewer, everything. These are all special districts that are making a profit for government. That's all it is.
Okay, well, thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, caller. And you give me a call again. I hope to hear from you again. Gary, that's a new caller. We like those. Call screener, typically, that call screen will keep track of new calls and other data like that. But now we're going to go into unscreened calls live on the air on K-Talk Radio. The number, by the way, is 801-254-5855, and lines will clear eventually. You will be able to get in if you persist. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, gentlemen. First, this is Jean.
Hi.
First of all, two things. They changed from the police department to the corporation.
Yes.
That is why I believe they can get away with all these robberies. Another thing, wasn't a city somewhere in the United States where they, after collecting taxes and all that, after a while they did not have to increase or collect taxes because they had enough. Now, if we probably, the thing is to change from corporations to a Salt Lake City, say, police department, or a Salt Lake Water Corporation, or whatever it is, I mean, without the corporation, I don't think they could get away with it. Right now, I'll bet you if you take them to court, they'll get away with it because it's a corporation. Think, is that true?
Yeah, I mean, basically the difference would be sort of like, well, I'm going to give you a perfect example of how this works from something that actually really happened that is probably the most saddening thing and probably the best look at our future that you can imagine. Because, yes, we're talking about now instead of having, let's say, our unified fire department, okay? Now instead of having a bunch of people who are say, voluntary fire department, almost like doctors with their Hippocratic oath. If you see a fire, you put it out. It only makes sense. And basically what happened to this woman in Florida, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
She watched as her house burned down. Now, the fire department had come and actually sat there and watched as the house burned down.
But she was no longer a subscriber.
Right. And so what happened? Okay, as the firefighters just sat there and watched, whereas otherwise good men, neighbors, and friends would have just come over, and it used to be that everybody would try to put the fire out. But they watched as that house burned down. They had their hoses, they had their fire truck, and the reason they didn't put that fire out was because she did not pay her $75 service fee. Just like the police protection fee we're talking about today, she did not pay that fee, and those men were called or notified that she did not deserve fire protection because she didn't pay this fee.
That's a hairy, nasty story, Clint, but Jean just made it. Made
I
it.
Have
Jean?
Yes. One more thing.
Yes.
How can we change because we elect people, how can it be changed from corporation to a regular government entity like it used to be?
I was about to ask the same question, Eugenia. Now, but Clint Richardson, and by the way, you can get in touch with Clint Richardson by going to thecorporationnation.com, realityblogger.com. Say it again, Clint.
.wordpress.com.
Oh, boy, that's a tough one. One G in the blogger, he makes it even worse. But look, here, Eugenia touched on something very important, which is there are municipalities, or at least one or two, are there not, that instead of enriching themselves as an entity, as a corporation, investing all over the world, all over the country, are using their funds to pay for services and relieving the taxpayers. It actually happens in at least one place, doesn't it, Clint?
I don't know where, but I think it was somewhere in the Midwest. It was a small city, I believe.
Well, there's been several instances of this happening. One of those was down near Walter Burian in Arizona. I can't remember the name of the city, but there was a point where they had no debt, and all of the services were essentially paid for, and the people didn't need taxes. And you've got North Dakota. Well, you've got Alaska. People up in Alaska are getting rebates on their interest, but that's a little bit different because that's basically.
But it needn't be. The point is, it needn't be this way.
No.
And Gene, I don't know the answer as to how we get there. I'm
going
to say thanks for your call. We're going to move on, Gene. Okay.
There's two sets of books I believe that each state keeps, and
yes.
I think Walter Burian, a long time ago, I heard him on the radio that he found that out.
Mm-hmm.
So. If you can have more information on it, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Gene.
Well, as far as the second set of books, that's what we were reading from today, which is it's not the second set of books.
It's just the full set,
right. Which is, you get the budget, which doesn't tell you anything, mm-hmm. and then there's the comprehensive annual financial
report. Right, and Gene, as recently as a few months ago, I was still referring to it as, quote-unquote, the second set of books, so I understand that got into the popular lexicon, but it in fact is not. It's just the full set. That's why they use the term comprehensive. And for the time being, it's still publicly available, but I can't imagine that lasting for much longer. Salt Lake City, you're on the air.
Yes, I'd like to just comment. I've heard no fuzzy questions, only fuzzy answers. And until people wake up and get away from the comfort zone of living in a nanny state being nagged by mommy, Big Brother's got a veiled velvet fist.
Oh, isn't it velvety and soft though?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if people don't wake up, I mean, it could be a bit obscure, but it was only obscured by the answers being given. And if you're satisfied with that, then go back to sleep.
Yeah.
But we need more questions like you and Clint have been giving out to our elected officials and put them on notice and let them know that they're going to be sitting on thumbtacks when they sit down, when they decide to direct their political office. People have to wake up.
All right, sir. Thank you very much for your call. I like the quick and to the point way you did that. Let's talk to another Salt Lake call. Good morning.
Good morning, Dale. This is Phil.
Phil, I haven't heard from you. Go ahead in a while.
Yeah,
in a while. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Harking back to an old automobile commercial of decades yore, just remember, with the government, taxes are job one.
Hadn't thought of that in years and decades.
Well, we're of that age that we can do that.
Right.
The mayor made an interesting equivocation when he tried to, when Clint cornered him on, you've got this fund sitting here, why aren't you drawing from it instead of making new taxes? He said, well, we're trying to prevent a situation where we spend down money and then in the future, I said, well, we're giving you a tax break now so you don't have to have a tax increase in the future. But he gave us a tax increase in the now. Forget about the future. Mm. So he's already shot himself in the foot for his attempt at explaining why he did what he did or why they did what they did.
Well, the suggestion has been made that the $150, and I'm just approximating, the household fee for police protection may have been a way to maintain deniability about raising taxes in the context of a gubernatorial run. I don't know. That's hearsay, but there is some kind of pattern suggested there.
Well, there are patterns all over the place, and they're getting rather tired from them. you guys have been doing fine jobs, so keep it up.
Hey, thanks, Phil. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Okay, now we're going to go to our Utah County line. Hopefully that individual's still holding. That leaves all Salt Lake lines wide open with about 20 minutes left in the program. So there are many opportunities in front of you to spill bile or make our day a little sunnier, whatever you want to do. It's 801-254-5855. If you're a new caller, give us a call. You can see we're very friendly. Very accepting. Utah County, by the way, you can reach us from 801-470-5855 and up Weber, North Davis Way, 801-670-5855. Or Salt Lake City, good morning.
Morning.
Fire away.
Am I on the air?
You are on the air. You're speaking to thousands.
All right. Well, I just wanted to say that any fee is actually a tax, whether it be a ticket from a police officer or your county.
Sir, let's hold you right there. Let's hold you right there. We'll bring you back after the break. K-Talk Radio, stay with us. Back in a moment.
The Voice of Utah. AM 630 K-Talk.
K-Talk.com.
Number one for the most live, local, two-way talk.
Hang on. Help is on its way. I'll be there as fast as I can. Hang on.
That's us. Here we go. Call splitting in now. There'll be time for all the calls. If you're on hold right now and watch this, we're going to put two calls on hold even as we're blabbing into the microphone. There's one. There's two. There's three people. Our Salt Lake lines are full. We're going to get to everybody. If you're on hold, we've got our long segment, final segment in front of us. Let's get into the middle of it. And we have unnamed caller in Salt Lake City. Anything else to say, sir?
Yes. Have either of you two heard of a website that has a DVD on it called What Happened to the Constitution at powercrossing.com?
Haven't heard of that one.
It's real interesting. It's an hour and a half long video that goes in depth as to why governments, it doesn't matter whether it's national, county, city, whatever is that it goes into, state.
Okay. Well, sir, throw the title of that or the website for it out again, and then we'll take a couple more calls.
Powercrossing.com.
Okay.
And anyway, just one quick comment to finish up on the any type of tax, any type of fee from government, is a tax.
So I hear that.
Like I said, if you're getting tickets or if your property taxes,
Well, and anybody, thanks for your call, sir. Anybody who doubts it, just defy, be non-compliant, and a sequence of events will take place, culminating in the barrel of a gun being pointed at you.
Again,
start over, Clint. I had you shut up.
Oh, that's okay. On that note, again, I challenge anybody out there who thinks that they own their own home, regardless of whether it's paid off or not, to not pay your property tax and see what happens. This is the ultimate scientific test of whether or not you are a free person.
Yeah, your compliance is a life and death issue, not for the mayor or any of the police around him. It's a life and death issue for you. I guess it goes without saying. Everybody knows the bars we live behind here, Salt Lake City. You're on the air.
Yes, I got a true story I want to tell you, but I first want to preface it with this observation. Most of us don't take the time to read the many of the laws that Congress and lawmakers are sneaking in because Congress and others don't take the time to read them themselves. So they sneak these crazy laws in, and these laws always have fines, fees, regulations, licenses, and other ways for revenue collections. Now, here's my story, and this is a true story. I heard from a state trooper how one time a judge pissed off one of the higher-ranking officers over not getting approval for things that they needed. And the officer went to his department and told those under him that that no one will be writing tickets, that they would only be giving out warnings. Soon the judge came to him and asked him, "What's going on? I had to let one of my clerks go and I'm about to lose my home." The officer then told him what he wanted and the judge agreed, and so they started writing tickets again. Another officer, a friend of mine, told me that there's a certain department here in the valley have to meet a quota of tickets each month. So it's all about revenues.
All right,
absolutely.
Sir. All right, thank you for your call this morning. Clint, weren't you saying that depending on the jurisdiction and the type of court, a lot of these courts are themselves businesses?
All courts. You can look it up on Dun & Bradstreet or on Mansa.com. You will find your court. It is a private corporation rented out to the city or county. And, yes, they make – you know, all you have to do is go and sit in what we call our justice centers for any of your cities. Just go in as an observer. You can do that. It is your right. And just observe what these judges are doing. I recommend the West Valley one, I believe it is, or South Jordan with Judge Stoney, who is just the most corrupt judge you will ever see. He literally tells people, "You owe me this much money." And you're just sitting there going, wow, how does this work? So go sit in your court and see how much money they rake up in just the 1 hour that they proceed. It's amazing.
If you want to get a little mouthy with them, you can spend a week or a month in a filthy cell, in a dangerous environment for contempt. Let's talk to another Salt Lake call. Go ahead. Salt Lake City.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Hi, Clint. Hi, Dale. Good show.
Thank
I
you.
Wanted to answer Mike's questions he had for the mayor.
Okay.
Basically, you don't own anything. Your property deed, when it was recorded, converted that property into what's called trust estate property, and the state is the trustee. You are the beneficiary. And basically, you just use that property, and you pay for that privilege via your property taxes. And as a beneficiary, you get the privilege of applying for building permits, being subject to zoning restrictions, all that crap. And by the way, there's no law requiring you to record that deed. So what you have to do is unrecord the deed and dissolve the constructive trust, and that's all you can do. But there is a legal way to do that. If you're interested, get a hold of me.
Absolutely. Your
don't,
voice.
Don't give your phone number over the air,
I
caller.
Won't,
but give us your first. Give me your first
number.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your voice sounds familiar, but I can't place it.
And you've got my legal self-defense survival name.
Oh yes, I definitely need to talk to you.
Okay. Yeah. Get a hold of me.
All right. Sir, anything else this morning?
No, that buttons it up. But we need to start taking it back, and
yes.
There's a way to do it.
And
yes.
we need to. Thanks, caller. You've inspired me. We also have to remember that this is the same fight that George Washington and all of the founding fathers fought against the divine right of the king. This is a fight for human dignity, and right now there are very few of us engaged in it. There are a lot of people who are sympathetic to us, but not too many people who will risk in the fight, put some risk, attach some personal risk to their efforts, and we only have each other. We got to support each other. Folks, you ought to keep track of a guy like Clint Richardson. This may sound a little maudlin at 8:50, I don't have a chance to talk to you late in the evening or afternoon when normally we're more serious, but very seriously, keep track of the patriots that you think are effective and create some accountability in government when those people are punished. And our friend Walter Burian has really been punished, Clint.
Yeah. Anybody's punished, you know, for coming out and talking about this stuff in many different ways. You know, along with what this gentleman just stated here, which is absolutely true, there's other things you can do to verify this. For instance, if you go get a certified copy of your birth certificate, and you look at the very bottom of that paper, that embossed paper, you'll see that came from a banknote trust company. That basically means that you are born into a trust. And it's a bizarre thing. You can look it up online and see who holds your birth certificate as a trust account.
And our physical bodies, our potential for work output, is the full faith and credit of the United States, isn't
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. we've read those quotes on air. Now, understand this, too. This is part of the bonding, how a bond works in your city. Now, everybody knows what a bond is. Basically, it's when the government sort of borrows money in the short term or in the long term to build something and pays it off with public debt. Now, what you need to understand is that the way these bonds work, I'm going to read this right out of a brochure from William Blair and Company, which is a special tax district financing
company.
And
then if you're on hold, we'll get to you. Three
yes,
calls
yes.
on hold.
This should tell you everything, okay? It says, owners of properties that benefit from the bond-funded infrastructure, meaning that if they build a mini mall or a movie theater or more houses, anything around your area or in your incorporation, basically says that owners of properties that benefit from the bond-funded infrastructure agree to a lien on their homes or commercial property that is paid off over time through an annual special tax or assessment. That tax or assessment is used to pay debt service on the bonds, which are secured further by underlying taxed or assessed property as collateral. In other words, the property that they're building. Now, this is the important part. The special tax or assessment constitutes a senior lien on your property, meaning it is superior to private liens such as construction or mortgage loans. That means that the city, every time it creates a bond through one of these private corporations, it is attaching your home and your property, without your permission, without your consent, and without your vote, to that bond.
All
if
right.
that bond goes up in smoke, so does your home.
All right, let's get through our calls quickly now. Salt Lake, thanks for holding. I appreciate it. Go ahead.
That's okay. I would just like to at least get in my last statement, but I usually tell them I lost my or gave up my house in Idaho and moved here because of the property taxes. So anytime somebody calls and wanted to sell me a house, I told them, you do not own your home. You lease it from the state. So
it's really important, isn't
been,
it?
Yeah, that's been my state, and I refuse to buy or give it, you know, one anymore.
Well,
so I quit.
I hope you'll call for you, and we'll say good morning to you. Let's try another Salt Lake call. Now, we're getting to everybody on hold, so hold that pose. Salt Lake City, you're on the air.
Are you telling me that, I don't know if you're LDS, but are you telling me that Alma 1011 is true, where it talks about the lawyers and judges? Are you telling me that DNC 38, I think it's 18 or 13, and then 28 are true, where it talks about their men gathered in darkened chambers, and the darkened chambers don't necessarily mean that they're dark in there, but there's a darkness in the
room. Oh yeah. You're sounding pretty fringy and pretty 1776 to me.
Yeah, and what's sad to me, I right in this last week, a young man from Hill Air Force Base came to me with a situation where he's involved in the courts, and they bulldoze, they run right over.
That's right.
Young man who's put his life on the line in Iraq and then in these theaters of war that this collection of lawyers put him in, and what I'm talking about is Congress.
Only people are safe. The only people are safe are the ones in the system, and the rest of us are all cannon fodder. We are convicts waiting to be recognized and cataloged. Thank you, sir. I'm going to move on real quick.
Guess what, man? There's 2 million veterans that are homeless on the streets.
Wow.
That's the figure.
Okay,
so.
Salt Lake, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Okay, this is Jean. Are you guys going to be there in 15 minutes? I'd like to meet this gentleman, and I want the phone number of the other guy that called about the home.
Right. We're taking some mortar fire right now, so if we don't have a direct hit, we do have good overhead cover in place, and we're putting down some suppressive fire, so if we don't take a direct hit, we'll be here.
Okay. I'll be there in 15 minutes. Thank
okay. Dio Presa Libra.
Let's make it a party.
And our final call up north. Are you there? No, that was a phantom call. A minute and change left. Clint Richardson, tell people how to get in touch with you and see your stuff.
Sure. You can email me at Clint, C-L-I-N-T, at kaffer1.com. My movie is thecorporationnation.com. And my blog, which I highly recommend everybody go to, is realityblogger.wordpress.com. If you search for the sheriff who sold his county.
The sheriff who sold his county.
The
next
sheriff
week's subject.
Who sold his county. That is the story where all of the information we've talked about today is completely sourced and put in a form. It's long, but once you read this, you will understand what's happening in your county.
All right. Now, folks, I want you to stay tuned for when Wall Street meets Main Street, Adam Curran, sometimes other folks. And, we've got a new face, it looks like, coming in, maybe a guest. It's all good. It's live, local, two-way talk. There's no place like it, K-Talk Radio. I may sound a little like a circus barker, but I really mean it. It's a great resource. Keep it active. Keep it honest by calling, speaking your mind. Thanks for all the calls this morning, including the adversarial calls. That's what makes the world go round, and we appreciate you as well. I'll see you Monday, and we'll be here, and Jack will also be present. So you Jackaholics, you got it made Monday. See you then.
AM 630, K-Talk. Defending the Constitution, protecting Utah.